Okay, let's unpack this. Today we are doing a deep dive into the technology stack, but we're shifting the focus, not looking at partners or associates this time. We've analyzed a stack of sources, mainly from legal technology consultants, and really our mission is to understand how technology can fundamentally change the day-to-day work and maybe even the career outlook for legal executives. Now, when we talk about legal executives or LEs, we're talking about the real backbone of many law firms, aren't we?
Absolutely. They're the highly experienced professionals doing the heavy lifting, in those specialized, quite demanding areas like wills, EPAs, insolvency, probate, complex trust
They
administration.
are often the engine room for profit in those specific practice areas.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here, looking at the sources, is that while the industry obsesses over tech for, say, general practice or litigation, the people who really know how things have to be done with all the regulations and nuances, well, the legal
Yeah.
executives. They're often overlooked.
Overlooked, despite being critical.
Yes. The sources confirm they're often overloaded, they carry immense institutional knowledge, and they're definitely under pressure. And this leads right into the core challenge that our consultants identified. It's kind of twofold. Productivity improvement, yes, obviously. But maybe more critically, retention.
Ah, retention. That's a big one.
It really is. We're seeing a measurable trend, experienced LEs moving firms quite frequently. And the sources suggest if a firm is still treating them like expendable workhorses, forcing them into the same manual grunt work over and over, well, they'll just leave.
So investing in tech isn't just about efficiency, it's about job satisfaction.
Directly. It's investing in their job satisfaction, their career longevity, making their work lives better.
Okay, but that raises a question for me. Retention's a firm-wide issue, sure, but why is this specifically linked to technology for LEs? Are they leaving just because of stress, or is it more about the firm not respecting their expertise?
Well, the sources suggest it's really both. The critique is, look, these LEs are highly paid, highly skilled professionals, yet they spend a huge amount of their time on, frankly, clerical, repetitive work that, let's face it, machines could handle much better.
So the firm's paying a specialist rate for someone to fight with, like word formatting.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Instead of strategically managing complex client matters or relationships. So when the technology is neglected, the LE feels both undervalued and constantly frustrated. That's a direct path to burnout and, well, looking elsewhere.
Understood. That makes sense. So the immediate goal then for you listening is to quickly grasp the essential practical steps and maybe the specific high-impact automation areas that can move LEs away from that frustrating grunt work, move them towards more valuable strategic roles where their expertise can actually shine.
Exactly. It's about elevating the role.
Right. So we have to start with the foundations, don't we? Before anyone gets excited about complex AI or, the latest shiny document review tool, the sources are really clear. The single most important step is getting the basics solid. Stop the bleeding first, so to speak. What does getting those infrastructure fundamentals right actually look like in practice?
Well, it looks like three essential components, and these are often neglected, maybe in favor of buying those shiny objects you mentioned. First up, modern systems. This means having a fit-for-purpose, probably cloud-based practice management system and a document management system.
Okay, modern cloud-based seems standard now.
Well, yes, but modern is only half of it. Crucially, these systems must enable collaboration, and they need to be designed to integrate smoothly with other, best-of-breed solutions the firm might use.
Integration. Why is that specifically so critical for a legal executive? What happens, say, Tuesday morning when the systems just don't talk to each other?
Oh, it creates unnecessary double keying, which
Yeah.
is just a massive risk, frankly.
Right. Errors creep in.
Exactly. If the LE enters client data into the practice management system, maybe for billing, and then has to manually type it all over again into the document generation system, well, you're introducing errors, delays, and sheer frustration. When systems integrate properly, that data gets entered once, safely, and just flows where it needs to go throughout the firm's workflow.
Makes sense. What's the second component?
The second one is document integrity. Now, this sounds really low tech, but believe me, it's high impact. LEs are heavy document creators, wills, EPAs, trust deeds, probate forms. It's constant. And our consultants noted they spend, frankly, ridiculous amounts of time fixing formatting nightmares.
Oh, I can almost hear the collective groan from every LE listening right now, trying to fix broken paragraph numbering in a 50-page will. Nightmare fuel.
It absolutely is. So firms need to invest properly in basic but really robust Word templates. Templates that are well set up with accessible styles, stable numbering, cross-referencing that works. LE shouldn't be wrestling with this stuff. It's the definition of wasted expertise.
Okay, so modern systems that integrate and solid document templates, what's the third piece?
The third is simply leveraging existing tech. You know, firms are often already paying licensing fees for powerful tools they own but aren't fully using.
Like what?
Most notably, the Microsoft 365 suite. Instead of immediately looking for a new vendor, the advice is look internally first. The sources specifically call out exploring Power Automate.
Okay, let's clarify that. For anyone unfamiliar, what exactly is Power Automate in simple terms? How can it quickly remove some of those manual tasks we talked about?
Think of Power Automate as like setting up a powerful but simple rule book for your documents and data. You don't need to be a coder. For instance, you could set up a rule that says, if a new file gets uploaded to the signed deeds SharePoint folder, then automatically create a task for the LE reminding them to build a client. And maybe at the same time, send an internal notification to the partner letting them know it's done.
Ah, I see. So it connects different actions.
Exactly. It lets you create these simple, automated workflows without needing specialist coders. Mm. It can instantly remove those tiny, repetitive, remember-to-do-this tasks that constantly interrupt an LE's focus during the day.
Right. So the message is pretty clear then. Before firms rush out to buy that bespoke automation toy, they really need to check that the basic infrastructure isn't actively creating bottlenecks and causing frustration.
And potentially causing those retention issues.
So their most productive staff, yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Precisely. Once that foundation is actually solid, then we can look at the specific, often highly technical areas where automation offers really immediate and significant returns. Mm-hmm. Remember, the LE role demands precision, thoughtful execution. The technology has to respect that complexity, not try to dumb it down.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, I think, because we move from fixing the infrastructure to tackling massive, specific pain points in certain practice areas. Let's look first at enduring powers of attorney, EPAs, and wills. These are often sensitive, high-volume tasks for LEs.
They are indeed. And the sources really highlight that the traditional methods rely so heavily on basic, often quite inflexible, word templates.
Which is cumbersome.
It's cumbersome. But maybe more importantly, it's unnecessarily risky for the firm because it relies entirely on the LE manually ensuring consistency between documents, especially when you're dealing with, say, a couple, making sure everything mirrors perfectly. And because of the time spent on those manual checks and adjustments, this work can often end up being a loss leader for the firm.
A loss leader? How does that work when these seem like standard, profitable documents?
Well, the initial fee for simple wills and EPAs might seem okay, maybe competitive. But if the LE then spends an extra hour or two correcting manual errors or just double checking that the mirror set of documents for the partner exactly matches the first one, well, that couple of hours just eats right into the profit margin very quickly.
So automation here isn't just faster, it directly addresses that profitability issue.
Exactly. Automation solutions exist now that specifically target this. They can generate both EPA documents for a couple and potentially even their wills simultaneously from just one single set of captured information.
Wow. So creating a complete, accurate mirror set for the partner could literally take minutes, not hours.
Minutes, yes. And that completely shifts the LE's focus, doesn't it?
It must do. Freeze them up.
Totally. It frees them up entirely to focus on, you know, building the client relationship, ensuring no critical details about the client's unique situation. Maybe complex assets, specific family dynamics are missed during the intake or consultation.
Which is actually risk reduction for the firm.
Huge risk reduction.
Yeah.
And our sources also point out the extra efficiency gain you can get from using optional web intake forms, allowing clients to enter basic key info themselves securely online before they even meet the LE. That speeds things up even more.
Okay, that's powerful for EPAs and wills. But you mentioned another area with some striking data.
Yes. Perhaps the most compelling data point from our source material relates to probate and administration. Now, this is a highly technical area. The precision required is immense, and the consequences of error can be quite severe for the beneficiaries.
Okay, hit us with the data. What did the sources say?
Our sources quote some really staggering data, cited by John Earls back in 2023. The rate of rejection of documents submitted to the probate unit for filing. It's hovering around 36% to 40%.
Wait, did you say 40%?
36 to 40%, yes. Just let that sink in for a moment.
40% rejection rate on probate filings. That is absolutely stunning. That suggests almost half the work being submitted is faulty in some significant way. causing massive systemic delays.
It does. It really does. And you have to factor in another 10% or so for what are called technical non-grant endorsements by the registrar.
Okay, what does that jargon mean for us?
Basically procedural failures. Things like missing schedules, technical deficiencies in the paperwork. They don't stop the grant entirely, but they require needless substantial redo work before the whole process can finalize. More delays, more cost.
So if we add that together, we're looking at nearly half of all probate submissions needing substantial unnecessary rework. That's a terrible waste of public and firm resources, surely.
It's huge. And the consequences go beyond just wasted time, right?
What are they?
Well, there's the financial cost, obviously. There's client frustration, beneficiaries waiting longer for distributions. And there's professional demoralization for the LE. It instills this constant coin toss fear of rejection. Knowing that your meticulous, careful work might get bounced back because of some small technical error, maybe because you were manually copying and pasting from an outdated precedent or missed one tiny detail.
Right. If the firm is paying an expert LE rate for someone to meticulously copy and paste, and even that results in up to a 40% failure rate, the process is fundamentally broken.
Exactly. The manual process itself is the risk.
So the automation solution here must be pretty specialized. How can technology fix something that seems to involve so many nuanced permutations depending on the estate?
Because the system handles the permutations. That's the key. The specialized automation needed here, it's built by experts specifically to handle that vast number of permutations and possible scenarios you find in probate. So instead of relying on human memory or manually updating standard forms based on specific assets or the jurisdiction or the beneficiary's relationships, the system locks in the correct, compliant wording based on the initial data inputs.
Ah, so it builds the document correctly from the ground up based on the case facts.
Precisely. It removes that dangerous reliance on copy-paste or manual typing for the complex clauses, ensuring regulatory compliance is built in automatically.
That shift from relying on fallible human memory and manual checks to relying on a constantly updated, validated system, that feels massive for risk reduction in such a technical area.
It is, definitely.
Okay, moving on slightly. The sources also detailed how technology can tackle broader workflow challenges, particularly in trust administration. Another area notorious for complexity, paper trails, endless approvals.
Yes, the complexity in trust admin often comes down to the sheer volume of, say, annual resolutions, distribution approvals, and the need to coordinate multiple trustees who might be scattered literally all over the country or even the world. The traditional physical process, drafting, printing, mailing, waiting for signatures, scanning, filing it, just consumes huge amounts of LE time, chasing people up.
So give us an example from the sources. How does a paperless solution fundamentally change that workflow?
Okay, an excellent example shared was this. Instead of drafting manual resolutions for, let's say, approving the annual trust accounts, the key trust details are held in a central secure database. Then, custom emails are automatically sent out to all the trustees. These emails contain secure links.
Links to what?
Links to a secure online form or portal. There, the trustees can review the resolution wording, they can review the accounts, accept terms of engagement if needed, maybe update their own contact details while they're there, and then digitally sign all the necessary documents right there in one go. And crucially, the system tracks every single step. It gives the LE real-time visibility. They can see instantly who's reviewed it, who has signed, who hasn't maybe opened the email yet.
So no more endless chasing emails or phone calls.
Much less, certainly.
Yeah.
It makes managing complex trust dramatically simpler and more cost-effective. It frees up the busy LE from that constant, tedious administrative burden. It transforms a scattered manual paper chase into a structured, auditable digital workflow.
That structured approach using a system that leads us nicely to this concept mentioned in the sources, safety in numbers. How does that apply to the kinds of solutions we're discussing here, like for probate or trust admin?
Yeah, it's really about leveraging collective intelligence and continuous improvement. The best pre-built solutions, the ones designed to handle the genuine complexity of probate or EPAs, they aren't static pieces of software. They are continuously improved. They have to be to reflect current law and best practice. And they do that because the vendors work closely with industry leaders, with law firms, and they collect feedback from a growing collective user base.
Ah, so if one user flags an issue or a needed change.
Exactly. If one firm flags a new requirement, maybe a tweak needed for an upcoming change in legislation, or a new procedural step demanded by the court, all users of that system benefit, often immediately, from those collective improvements in accuracy and compliance.
So the LE is no longer solely responsible for maintaining every single precedent document perfectly up to date themselves.
Correct. They benefit from the vigilance of the entire user community and the vendor's expertise. That's the safety in numbers.
Okay, so what does this all mean then for the individual legal executive sitting in their firm right now, maybe listening to this? The technology is clearly available. It's demonstrably effective in these key areas. But the sources also point out that LEs themselves can sometimes be wary of new tech, resistant to change. Why is that, do you think?
I think it's often because historically technology has often been done to them rather than with them.
Meaning
they are the experts in their domain. They know exactly how probate or trust admin needs to work.
Yeah.
Yet too often, perhaps, the IT department or management purchases some generic software without meaningful input from the actual end users, the LEs. And inevitably, that software then underdelivers on the specific needs of their practice area. It's clumsy. It doesn't quite fit the process.
So they've been burned before, wasted time learning systems that didn't really help.
Exactly. They've been burned. They've wasted valuable time learning clumsy systems. So there's a degree of understandable skepticism.
So firms need to actively change that narrative, start trusting the expertise of their LEs more when it comes to technology choices.
Absolutely. That came through strongly. While legal executives usually don't hold the purse strings for the ultimate purchasing decision, the sources strongly suggest there must be far more scope for LEs to influence those decisions. They should be empowered, encouraged even, to recommend and pilot solutions that they believe will genuinely help them deliver better value, better outcomes, and make their own jobs more efficient and satisfying. They know exactly where the real pain points are.
And it sounds like the barriers to actually testing these specialized solutions are much lower now. That seems like a strategic advantage for firms wanting to manage risk without huge upfront costs.
Precisely. That's a key point. Free trials are often readily available. They can be easily set up to enable real testing on real files without a major financial commitment upfront. And furthermore, the financial models themselves are shifting. The sources mentioned that per document or per matter pricing is now quite common for these specialized tools.
So you only pay for what you use.
Exactly. The firm only pays for what it actually uses. And quite often those costs can be legitimately dispersed directly to the client as a standard matter expense. It dramatically lowers the firm's financial risk for adopting new tech and allows for a proper performance-based evaluation. Try before you buy, essentially.
This has been a really fascinating journey, actually. We've covered quite a lot of ground, everything from, you know, ensuring those modern integrated cloud systems are in place, leveraging robust word styles to finally kill those formatting nightmares, getting the basics right.
Right through to these highly specialized automation solutions that can genuinely tackle things like that staggering 40% probate rejection rate or enable simultaneous EPA creation for couples, things that drastically reduce firm risk and stop wasting valuable LE time. Yeah, the financial return on investment, when you look at it that way, seems absolutely undeniable. Faster turnaround times, far less needless rework, consistently higher quality, compliant output.
Yeah.
The business case is strong. But we should reiterate, maybe the most important likely benefit isn't just financial. It's that greater sense of happiness, potentially a significant improvement in work-life balance for LEs.
Yeah, less frustration.
Less frustration, definitely. And the ability for legal executives to then assume even more valuable long-term strategic work within the firm. This kind of tech investment really signals that the firm values their deep expertise above their ability to just manually process forms.
We've definitely seen that legal executives know exactly how things should be done in their specialist areas. So when technology is implemented with them, properly aligned with their operational needs, well, it's not just a time saver, is it? It feels more like a profound career shift, something that elevates their contribution and their standing within the institution.
I think that's spot on. And this raises perhaps an important final question for you, the listener, to consider as you reflect on this deep dive. If freeing up significant chunks of LE time through this kind of high-impact automation is so critical, where is the most valuable place for them to then reallocate that freed-up time within the firm? How can they maximize their strategic contribution going forward? Is it more complex client advisory work? Is it mentoring junior staff? Is it taking on more complex file resolution or practice development? Where does that expertise best serve the firm once it's unshackled from the routine tasks? Something for you to perhaps chew on until next time.